And it's a miracle, really, like Amber Sharon from the what she had go on today, and having her tonsils out. She's not supposed to be speaking at all, but God has taken the full effects of what she should have had away so that she could speak. And that's a testimony to God. And she didn't even mention it. I hope you don't mind me mentioning it, but I feel inspired to say that because it's glory to God. And also...
No, I don't mind. Don't mind you mentioning it at all. Like, it really is an awesome testimony, guys, to God, because I did have both tonsils out. Just to put it sharp, just to put it quickly in the bud, I had a growth come up on my in my throat on my tonsil, and the growth was getting bigger and bigger, and they didn't know what it was. Over the last month, I've gone through a bit of a rock. Well, the last 6 months, but the last month's been a bit of a rocky time. But I've just pushed into God, and today, so last week they looked at the lump and they said that it had to be removed urgently. I went in today to have the lump removed because it was like getting the size of a sprout, gonna block up my windpipe. And they removed my tonsils today. And yeah, God, I'm speaking. I shouldn't even be speaking. I should be in so much pain right now. And I stopped having meds at like 11 o'clock when I went into recovery. And Danny picked, and that's even the doctors and nurses were like, wow, you're not even having any. And I said, no, it's okay. And it's not because I think, but I just felt good. I didn't need it. To be honest, the meds they give me make me feel really sick. So all glory to God. No, thank you for sharing it, Laura. I wasn't going to share it this week, but glory to God, because he told me as I was sat on the bed, share what I'm asking you to share, and I will take care of your mind. And so all glory to God. Thanks, Laura. Sorry for putting in love.
So we're kept by the power of God. Like, we really are kept by God's power. And you know, when we stay focused with him, when we stay trusting, when we stay relying on him, then there's nothing that we have to want. There may be circumstances going around us. There may be situations going on, but we're not moved by those things, because we know our God is greater, and we are seated at his right hand side. We have power, we have authority. God has given us his ability to overcome any challenge that comes our way. We don't do it in our strength, but we do it by looking to God and trusting him, and as he works in us. And so the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God, through the pulling down of strongholds. Strongholds is something that keeps you in your place. Fear, false evidence appearing real. Fear will keep you in your place. Confusion will keep you in your place. But God says we're not to look at those things. Okay, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Satan is way under your feet. We are far above. We're not under him. He's under us. The circumstances are under our feet. When we put our mind to that and what the promises of God says, and we declare what God puts in our hearts to speak forth, then that is light backing off darkness. See, Satan knows when you have faith, because the light just blinds him. It gives him a migraine. You know, you need to declare what God says about your situations. And what we tend to do when we get in a problem or a situation or a circumstance that may affect us or our family, we can become shaken. But we're not to be soon shaken in heart or mind. As the scriptures say, we're to look to God. We're to trust in him. Because what we've got the ability to overcome. Our weapons are spiritual weapons. We can speak in tongues. We can use our authority. We can go directly to the throne of God for his wisdom. And that's what God wants us to do in every circumstances. And as we practice doing this in our walk, then you'll find that you'll become stronger, that you're increasing strength. You know, you'll wax strong in these areas. And we put our trust and confidence in God's ability in us to do. We got to be confident in what God has invested in us, which is that Spirit of God, that Christ in you, the hope of glory, which gives you that direct access to God. And the Spirit of God in us searches the things of God, the mind of God, so that we can know his thoughts. And God's Spirit teaches our spirit and our spirit teaches our mind. And as we act, as we confess, as we move, as we're led, then we see the manifestation of the spiritual impact in the physical. Darkness has to flee. Devil spirits have to flee. They are dogs without teeth. They really are. You know, so Amber got a feist that she's not going to be able to speak. She'd be in a lot of pain. The medical people were giving their professional understanding to Amber, but she wasn't putting her understanding with their understanding, the natural man, the carnal man's thinking. They wasn't wrong in what they advised her on the carnal level, but the spiritual level is way higher, and that's where we're to set our affections. So when you get a situation come and challenge you, whether it's an old habit pattern, whether it's an old friend, or you got people talking against you, you can either magnify that, like a magnifier. When you put something, it might be something very minute, but when you put a magnifying glass on it, it makes it a lot bigger. If you put it under, if it's something very small and you put it under a microscope, then you can see that small problem. Or if you wanted to look at the stars, you get a telescope, and that moon or stars, which are really small, can be magnified. We can see it. And this is what we do sometimes with the problems and situations that come up and face us. So instead of magnifying your problems in your mind and feeding the fear, we need to magnify God. And we can magnify God not even with our own carnal knowledge words. We can speak in tongues. Speaking in tongues is magnifying God. It's giving praise to God. It's perfect prayer to God. It makes intercession to God. And as we do that, as we set our thoughts on things above and not on things of this earth, then what we look at when we change our thinking, our situations change. When we look at our situations through the lenses of the senses, then they stay the same. But when we look at our situations through the lenses of this Holy Spirit, God's vision, then we see that this is nothing before us. And so we declare what we want. And so when we train our minds to think those spiritual thoughts, we practice thinking from above. We're talking from above, so we think from above. And God has also given us the wonderful, great and precious promises in the scriptures that we can know and understand and declare out of our mouth. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. I shall live and not die. I am healthy. I am prosperous. We say and come into agreement with the spiritual, with the words from God, and the scriptures, those promises that are given to us. When you're in a situation, what do you say? What's your response? So if something's coming against me, I say, no weapon that is fashioned against me shall prosper. And if people are talking about me, every tongue that rises up against me in judgment, I shall absolutely 1,000,000% condemn. For this is inheritance in the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness of me, saith the Lord. So I bring my mind back to what the promises say about me and who I am in Christ. When I feel lonely, I know I'm not alone, because God says he never leaves me and he never forsakes me. He's always with me. He's given me peace so that I can have clarity, so that I can receive his thoughts. He's given me that spirit so I can speak by that, so that I'm energized and I'm ready to receive what he says. You know, so God says, let there be peace. When confusion's going on, you know there's every evil work. Now, what usually works together, just adding to someone there, what usually works together is confusion and fear. So confusion come in and it generates fear. And if we focus on those things, then we can allow fear to come in, which will produce worry and doubts. But when that confusion goes on, we know that confusion is not from God. That God is not the author of confusion, but the God of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. So we're speaking from the heavenlies. We're declaring what God has said. And when we do that, what we say will become. Okay, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. That's why your thinking is very important. The enemy knows this and he wants to give you wrong information, like he did with Eve in the garden. He gave her wrong words, wrong information. They were what you would call words that were, you know, fair speech. He gave a fair speech to Eve and she started to consider these fair speeches. So they lost that real connection with God. God didn't become their source no more. God was their source before this. When they got tricked out, then their own minds become the source. So God is the source of our answers, our direction, our solution. The scriptures show us this also. I just get to thinking that when we look at our circumstances, when we start to discuss our problems, when we go to unbelievers and discuss our problems, you know, the enemy's having a great time there. I can get in here. But he's got no rights to come in, no rights to trespass, but he'll try and get permission from you for your unbelief. So that's why we're to be walking by the Spirit of God. We're to be wise. We just need to be wise and walk with our eyes open. And we keep our thoughts set on things above. So Paul says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, you let your request be made known unto God. And then he says, the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds by Christ Jesus. So it's that peace of God that passeth the understanding. And it's not a worldly peace, it's that peace which comes from the Spirit of God within you. That's why we need to be led by the Spirit. That's why we need to allow God to give us words. Amber certainly didn't prepare what she was going to say tonight. Kelly and all the other people beforehand, Danny and Peter, they didn't prepare. They may have had an idea of what to share, but God was energizing those thoughts within them. And so that's what we do when we get. He may not give us the whole thing, but as we step out and speak, just like bringing forth a word of prophecy, when I say to someone, so-and-so, bring forth a word of prophecy, the first thought that comes to their mind, they begin, and then the words flow. Same with speaking in tongues and interpretation of tongues. The words flow because God is energizing. So God is always at work within you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure, isn't he? So as a man thinks in his heart, as I said before, so is he. What does it say in Ephesians 3:20? That God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think. Or that word think can also be imagine. Vision and sight are two different things. The sight is what we see with our eyes, but vision is what you see with your heart. What's the innermost depths of you? That's vision. There's a difference between sight, physical sight, and vision. Because the vision that you got for your life is not physically in front of you, but it is mentally in front of you. And then that's what we declare. That's what we call. We call those things which are not as though they were. That's what our Heavenly Father did and does and has done. Like in Ephesians, he's spoken all those spiritual blessings over you. Okay, he's pronounced his blessing, his benediction, if you want to call it, into your life. It's already there. Everything that God has done and is going to do has already been done through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ laid down his life. We want the spiritual wisdom from God. It's that spiritual wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation. We can declare from God this wonderful gospel, preaching, heralding forth what God wants spoken. And Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, or wholeness. That's completeness. We are complete in Christ. Paul says in Romans 1:9, he says, I thank God that I serve you with my what? Spirit. He didn't serve him with his knowledge. Don't forget, he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. If anyone had anything to boast and to talk about knowledge, it would have been Paul. But he didn't want to know any of it. He wanted to only know Christ and him crucified, the power of God. He says, the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and died for me. And the life that he's living, he's allowing Christ to live that life through him. The more he walked, the more the layers of that old nature fell away. It's like peeling an onion. You peel the onion, and the more you're peeling it, the more you're getting back to the core of that onion. And so those levels and layers of the dirt and the things that we learned before are being stripped away as we're walking and being led by the Spirit of God. Any challenges that you're going through is just a light affliction in reflection to eternity. So the little things that you're going through now is nothing compared to the eternal life that you're going to have in the presence of God and his angels and the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to walk on streets paved with gold. You're going to live in mansions. You're going to have the best life there. But God says you can have it now. You need to bring what I've made available here down to here in the physical to show my goodness, because it's the goodness of God manifesting through our lives that will lead people to repentance. It's the goodness of God. It's the grace of God. It's nothing by your works, not your working of the scriptures, the Hebrew, the Greek, Aramaic, or anything like that. Your knowledge of it, that doesn't cut any ice. It's what we speak by God. When we start to walk by the Spirit, when you go to the Scriptures, then God can open up the spiritual wisdom of those Scriptures. And God has been showing me this and enlightening my eyes. And I'm like, wow. And then I started to understand when Paul said in Galatians, he said to these guys, look, you began in the Spirit. He didn't say you began in the knowledge of the Scriptures, of the law. Because this was a new administration. Everything that's recorded in Galatians and Corinthians and Ephesians and Philippians and in Thessalonians, it wasn't written down anywhere. It was fresh bread from God through the Apostle Paul. These guys were living it. They were walking by the Spirit. They were impacting the enemy's kingdom and eradicating it out of the way. And so this is what we're to do. We're to walk by that Spirit of God. Let God give us that wisdom. And the only thing that stopped it was different information. The information that come from the Jewish Christians that were born again, still practicing the law of Moses, they come in with another gospel. They was telling these believers at Galatia, you got to practice the law of Moses. You got to be circumcised. Paul said, if anyone teaches any other gospel, let him be accursed. Why? Because our gospel message isn't a message of works, but it's a message of grace, and it's God doing the work by us as we're humble and as we submit to his leading and his prompting and his direction. When we do what God puts in our heart, that is being led by the Spirit. When we speak forth, that is being speaking forth by the Spirit of God. When the heart is receiving these words gladly, if anyone on here is resisting these words because of their knowledge, that's the only reason why you'll be resisting, is because of your knowledge. But when you receive the words gladly, then you're going to move with this. You're going to be fired up from this. You're going to be blessed and want to do this. But when the hearts are hardened, then the tongue starts to waggle. And it was funny about Peter when he was sharing with me, you know, about the situation that was going on there. I woke up in that morning, and I always got like my laptop in front of me, and I had YouTube, and I must have put a video on at night, and it finished, and there was all these videos, and it says let them go. And I thought, that's Joel Osteen. It wasn't just Joel Osteen, it was other people. See, if people are with, there's many people that can be with you. It doesn't mean to say they're for you. People will show that they're with you, but it doesn't mean to say their hearts are with you. They may be physically with you. They may not agree with what you're saying, but they won't move. If you're feeding the things of God, then they move. So we don't just want people to be with us. We want to just to be with us. We want them to also be for us. That the words that we speak, they're receiving. They're excited. They're energized. And they want to do it too. So this is why we pray for laborers. Laborers are ones that are ready to move. that are ready to receive the words from God. And in Thessalonica, when Paul was there, they spoke by the Spirit. And Paul said, when you received the words from us, you received it not as the words of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which is effective in you that believe. So for an example, I just use Danny and Amber as an example, so they're closest here to me, is that they received my words gladly. And the word, the encouragement that God has worked in my heart to give them, they've gone to God with that. I haven't told them to go to God, they've gone to God with that. And they've decided they're going to move in this way. So as they received out those words gladly, they began to practice. And now they're seeing the fruit and the manifestation of that. So it doesn't take long when you're practicing. So when I connect with Sangha, I'm hearing. And I'm hearing the testimonies, I'm hearing the encouragement. And then I take it to my heart, I'm receiving his words gladly. And like, Father, now I'm going to put this to work. You show me. And you show me how to understand this. And he does. And then I just begin to do it. And I do it boldly. If I make a mistake, it's great. Because I can always put that mistake right. So I'm not focused on doing anything wrong, but to move with my God. And when we move with God, we don't make those mistakes. When our hearts turn to him, when we're allowing him to energize. So my encouragement to you is just really receive the words gladly. Take them to your heart. Take them to God. And then practice. If you want to see the fruit, if you want to see the manifestation of the spiritual blessings in your life, then practice the things that are being encouraged. And these are the, this is sound doctrine. This is the wisdom of God. And then you can re-listen to this and ask God to show you from the scriptures he'll show you if you want to, because I'm confident in my God and his ability in me. And so are you, I know, and you are wonderful. So just relax. Don't let the tradition of what you've learnt before stop you moving in the full power and the Spirit of God, because God is doing something now, this time, today, this day of salvation. And we have to make some decisions. You know, like God says, choose you this day, death or life, be hot or cold. God doesn't like the indecision. He needs a commitment and a decision to him, not me, but to him. Okay, God, I receive these words and I'm going to practice them. And then here show you, here confirm the words with signs, miracles and wonders following. And he's doing that. He is really doing that in those that are practicing. And he's with you. And he's a personal God also. And we have a personal Lord and Savior. But he's brought us to the one body where we can be nourished and encouraged and fed the words of life. And he wants you also to do the same, because we all have that same ability. We can all speak. We can all declare. And so we just let God work in us. So that's my encouragement to you.